before we get into our main items of the agenda, we'll do the most important thing first, and that is to swear in our new student region, Andy Dahmer. He is coming aboard today. Welcome, and if you'll accompany me to the front of the room.
While they're going up there, let me introduce Andy to those of you who may not be fully aware of her amazing experience as a WKU undergraduate student. She's a Chaired Presidential Scholar, which is the highest merit-based scholarship at the University Awards. She was just elected student body president, as you know. She has a modest 4 majors, economics, international affairs, Spanish, and Asian religions and cultures. She's a member of our Chinese flagship program. She graduated from DuPont Manual High School in Louisville as valedictorian and senior class president and a national merit semifinalist. She is fluent in Spanish and Chinese. And she is completing her sophomore year and has already studied about 3 times.
I said 4
times, excuse me. It's hard to keep up. What an amazing student, and the intellectual energy and leadership she brings to our campus is profound. Congratulations, Andy.
Thank you.
You solemnly swear that you will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the Commonwealth, and be faithful and true to the Commonwealth of Kentucky so long as you continue a citizen thereof, and that you will faithfully execute to the best of your ability the office of member of the Board of Regents of Western Kentucky University according to law. And do you further solemnly swear, since the adoption of the present Constitution, you, being a citizen of the state, have not fought a duel with a deadly weapon within the state, nor out of it, nor have you sent or accepted a challenge to fight a duel with deadly weapons, nor have you acted as second in carrying the challenge, nor aided or assisted any person thus official. So help you God. Congratulations.
So, one of the positions that started several years ago is the summit of a regents candidate. And these are rare because only individuals who have been inducted as a member of the Board of Regents receive one of these candidates. It is modeled after the WKU senior ring. It's center core and start of the senior ring. And this is yours forever, to keep forever. Hope you wear it proudly, not only while you are a regent, but often thereafter as a conductor. Congratulations, Andy. So while I'm up here, Cynthia, if you would join me, please. Cynthia Harris completes her term as a member of the Board of Regents with today's meeting, and she has been an absolutely superb member of our governing board, has always been here, has done her homework, and kind of like EFL, she speaks and listens. She's got an amazing family in Louisville, and I know she has sacrificed much to be a contributing member of this Board of Regents, and we're eternally grateful for your contributions, your thought, and your participation in our governance. Thank you, Cynthia. Congratulations.
All of you guys. Something that I totally never expected when I left Western, my career was built around this place. I've thought about it often, but the thing that I get a chance to come back and serve on the board never occurred. When John called and said what he told me it was and who he was representing, I immediately gave the phone to Mario because I knew that's who they called. And he said, no, it's me. So I want to thank you all, really. It's been a joy, a true joy, 6 years. I hate to leave it.
It is time to move on. Thank you very much. Mr. Chair, the only other introduction I would want to make this morning is to introduce to the board someone that all of you know well, I'm sure, but John Paul Blair. John Paul, I know you're here. John Paul, stand up. John Paul has just accepted in the last couple of weeks the duties as Interim Vice President for Development and Alumni Relations, and John Paul has served at WKU faithfully and well for 20 years.
Yeah.
So we came in together, huh?
Just before you.
All right.
Yeah.
And has been absolutely integral in two successful capital campaigns, and his passions run deep, and I know that you will enjoy working with John Paul in these duties, as will President Cabona. Congratulations,
thank
John
you.
Paul.
Thank you.
Oh, Regent Harris, should we call the roll?
Yes, did I find it? Regents Bale.
Present.
Birch.
Present.
Dahmer.
Present.
Higdon.
Here.
Henson.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
McKinley.
Here.
Porter.
Here.
Ridley.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Chair, we have 11 present representing the board. Quorum.
Having declared a quorum, we're now ready to conduct business. First agenda item on our special called meeting is finance and budget. Chair Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As the chair indicated, this is for consideration and approval of the 2017-2018 operating budget. We'll defer to Dr. Capps, but I believe it would be in order. I know that this budget's been sent around, but for the opportunity to commence discussion, we will need a motion to approve. So I will entertain a motion.
I move to approve the budget.
Okay, motion from Regent McKinley. Do I have a second?
Second.
Regent Birch, second. Discussions and questions. So who would like to go first? Since you and I talk, John, do you want to go first?
I can, I guess.
It doesn't make any difference. I'm just trying to pick an order.
I don't have any prepared remarks. I do think that this is a very tough period for us, and going forward is going to be tough. We are recognizing two areas that I don't think is any surprise to anyone in this room, and the first, of course, is our enrollment issues, and we certainly are addressing those as aggressively as we possibly can, but always recognizing that's not a quick fix, and hoping it'll be different is not accepting reality. But I think we have a plan, and that should help us get to where we need to be. The second one is, I think there is a huge unfunded pension issue in the state of Kentucky, and that will fall upon all those in the state to look at how that will be solved. And I do not think that we'll escape the reality that it will affect us as well financially. And basically, those are my two concerns, and this budget reflects the best effort, I think, for all those concerned that have sacrificed within departments. It will take a joint effort of everyone, and no one will be able to be singled out as to say, I'm going to escape the realities that we face right now. And so that's basically my...
Yeah, and I apologize to Ann because I should have asked her to go first.
Oh, that's okay.
To explain.
Well, hopefully, maybe I've set her up for a good report.
I do have a presentation.
So I apologize to you, Ann.
I do have a presentation for the board as usual. A couple of opening comments I'll make before I get into my formal remarks. Number one, I used to work for a gentleman that when he would testify before a legislative committee, he would come in with probably equivalent to about 6 or 7 of these notebooks, and he would stack them up next to himself, to his right when he would start his presentation. And I always wanted to ask him, you know, what the purpose was, because, you know, if somebody asked you a question and you had to go through 6 or 7 notebooks, you're going to say, well, there's probably not enough time to find what I'm looking for, but I know it's in there. So I kind of concluded that maybe it was slightly an intimidation factor that anyone that comes in with that much information surely must be quite bright and intelligent, and maybe that would have fewer questions or something that helped establish his credibility. So why do I reflect back to over 20 years ago? Well, I don't have to come in with 20 notebooks or 6 notebooks. I come in one, but I have an assistant vice president for resource management next to me, Kim Reed, that you've known for years, and that's all I need next to me. So what you'll see is that if I can't answer your question, Kim and others in this room will step right up and will have the answers, because what I have learned over my career is it's okay to admit that you don't know the answer. But we'll do our best. If we can't answer your question today, we'll get back to you at another time. The second opening comment I reflect on, I got an email inviting me to a conference. And it said that the reason I would want to attend this conference was to ensure you have the knowledge and skills you need to lead your institution in an era of disruption. I'd never seen it worded that way. I'm not exactly sure if it's like a recession. Do you know when it started and when you're out of it? But surely these are different times. I saw in another board presentation, they called it the new normal. That's a phrase that you've heard. But an era of disruption. Well, I'll tell you that this budget does the best it can in an era of disruption. So I have a few slides for you, and I'll try not to cover what you already have in your agenda materials. But normally what I do is I start at the very high level. We're asking you to approve a budget of $413,651,000. It's a sizable budget, a comprehensive university. We're organized into 3 categories, as you've seen in the past. 3 categories, starting going counterclockwise: auxiliary enterprise at a little over $22 million. What you do there is primarily reimburse costs from the Student Life Foundation to run housing, and the WKU store, the primary components that compose auxiliary enterprises. Restricted educational in general, a little over $55 million. Externally restricted funds, primarily financial aid from the state government and from the federal government, and grants and contracts. Our largest component of the unrestricted ENG budget, a little over $334 million, which comprises 81% of our total budget, and this is the area we'll basically focus on. I'll look at revenue from a slightly different perspective to give you a graphic. The auxiliaries account for about 6% of the budget. Carry forward this time, we're budgeting at $29.8 million. It will represent 7% of the budget and does include those one-time funds that we believe won't be expended this year that will carry forward into next year. Restricted are at 14%. Self-generated revenue is about 7%, includes fees for service, includes programs like the Center for Gifted Studies, testing services, study abroad, and parking and transportation are a few examples of what happens in self-generated revenue. Our state appropriation next year is intended to be $74.6 million, and it is 18% of our total budget. If you go back 10 budgets, it was 25%. Where tuition and fees at $201 million accounts for a little over 48, almost 49% of our budget. That is an increase from about 40% of our budget just 10 budgets ago. I like to present the budget in this manner Because when people hear you have $413 million, there's some expectation that you can give salaries or there's things that you could do differently. Well, that's obviously true. But what this does is kind of take it from high to low, saying you've got to realize how much of our total budget is designated or restricted for certain purposes. So I work from the top down and back out those items that truly are dedicated for specific purposes. I come down to where we have our most discretion, which is the money from the state and the money from the students from tuition and fees. So you, a third of the budget really is designated and restricted for certain purposes. So it's the state and students that where we have our most discretion to allocate funds. From the state and the student, 26 cents of every dollar comes from the state, 74% comes in the form of tuition and fees.
And that is the ENG budget, correct?
That's correct. That's the unrestricted ENG budget from the previous slide. When you already take out one-third for the designated funds, we're down to one for every dollar we get from the state of the student. The students are contributing 74 cents. How do we plan to use our funds in the unrestricted ENG budget? Number one point is you see personnel at 179.5 million. We are significantly invested in people, salaries and benefits, student employment, part-time faculty and staff, over 1,800 full-time budgeted positions, and an additional 150 that were vacant at the time we took a budget snapshot. How do we use our funds? $3 million approximately, intended to be used for capital outlay. Computer purchases, equipment, vehicles. Debt service will be approximately 4% of the unrestricted ENG budget, and as I work down the list, the $81 million represents 24%. The personnel, as I just described, is 54% of our unrestricted ENG budget. Student financial aid is a very significant piece, and let me clarify that that does not include the foundations. It doesn't include the federal and state loans or the federal and state grant programs. This is institutionally funded financial aid, which accounts for 14% of our total budget. The increase between fiscal year 17 and 18 is approximately 7%. Now, this has been a focus in the past. The good news, bad news. The good news is we are really serving the needs of students. Now, we said at one point we needed to revisit how we did our scholarships, and we have restructured the program. The reason that it is a 7% increase is that we were phasing in a new scholarship program, and we were honoring our previous commitments. So those students that came in under the old scholarship program, that gave them an increase in their award based on increases in our tuition and fees, room and board, et cetera, their package went up. The new packages are structured with a flat award amount. So at some point, if we continue in this manner, you'll see that this component won't grow as fast as it is right now. But again, that's the good news, bad news, because it does demonstrate our commitment to serve our students and help make it affordable. Given our commitment, what was that? Let's see, Kim. Of $179 million to personnel, I thought I'd stop for a second and show you what we budgeted and what our employee benefits costs look like for next year. These are the various retirement programs, and you're familiar with the other items. $7,417 is our contribution for employer health, dental, and vision, represents $618 a month. This clearly shows, Mr. Ridley, as you were pointing out, look in the about third line down, it says KERS 49.47% of salary. That one is a daunting budget variable. Now, this budget has just, what, a very minimal increase in the rate. The pattern has been a large increase in the first year of the biennium and a small adjustment in the second. But this shows you, from our fiscal perspective, why retirement gets to be a significant strain on our budget.
And
we recently reported.
Be sure the board distinguishes between KERS and KERS hazardous and the KTRS, KTRS, TRP.
The hazardous are the police. The TRP are the transitional faculty that go on to a special program that they have 5 more years. They essentially go to a reduced teaching load. They're retired, and we continue paying back into the retirement system on their benefit.
What percentage?
Is that in addition? It's the hazardous category. Is it KERS plus KERS hazardous?
No, these are distinct rates for each population, so you don't add them together.
What percentage of our personnel is on KTRS versus KERS?
Well, we're going to have to whip out our calculator, but I'll tell you, it's in fiscal year 16, we spent approximately $10 million for KERS, and we spent $11.5 million for KTRS. So while I was going to go there, but I didn't have the percentages. I didn't do that. The contribution for TRS and KERS actually increased 80% since fiscal year 08. But again, this year for retirement, we're budgeting $22.4 million of that personnel number. One other point I would give you an example is that this financial commitment we make, if we look at a KERS position at $28,000, we estimate next year that the benefits cost associated with that salary is 84.6% of salary. And then for those of you in the private sector, I don't believe you'd be able to have a successful business model with benefits. Now, we take care of our employees. We're proud of what we've been able to do for our health insurance. But again, retirement is a significant strain on our budget. So on a $28,000 position, the benefits cost is 84.6%. If you're looking at a TRS position, it would be at about 41%, all out of our control, except for what you see up there, ORP, Optional Retirement Program. Professional and faculty can choose another retirement option other than the state system. The benefit is 13.84. Does that include the 5% that goes to the state?
Yes.
Okay. So out of that 13.84%, 5% of it goes to the state for the ability to offer an alternative to the teacher's retirement system. All right, I'm not going to kick that horse anymore. I'm going to, or dog, or whatever. We'll move on. We know the point. All right, so where will our money be budgeted? By organizational area? Academic affairs is the heart. Instruction, research, and service, libraries, academic support at 66% of the unrestricted budget. Included in that number is the grants, I'll get the right word, scholarships and fellowships. Scholarships and fellowships are included in that $221 million, and therefore 16% of their total actually is associated with scholarships and fellowships. Building the budget. So the Herald Reporter asked me yesterday, is it a good budget? We've had worse, but I truly believe that while my glass is always half empty, I'll have to tell you there are some things about this budget that we should be proud of, and I'll make sure that I point those out. When we start the budget, we think about what our estimates are of what will come in next year and how we plan to allocate them. We look at the budget in terms of central sources, the state appropriation operating, the fall and spring tuition, and investment income, one item I probably have never talked about before. The state appropriation, obviously what I'm saying about operating is what you see down in return divisions, is I'm saying that I'm excluding the Math and Science Academy and the Kentucky MESNET, which are considered return to divisions. The fall and spring tuition excludes the doctoral programs. Our commitment in doctoral programs is the revenues returned to support those programs. When doctoral programs were approved, it was approved that they would be self-supporting, and the intent is that the tuition does that. It excludes what you have seen before from the Division of Extended Learning and Outreach. Investment income is kind of an interesting item. We're budgeting $100,000. A drop in the bucket, isn't it, Mr. Ridley? I thought I'd go back and look. In 2007, our actual investment income was $2.4 million. So that's a reflection of reality that has impacted this budget along with your own investment. But things have certainly changed where investment income was an important third part of our central resources and no longer is an important source. Return to divisions, I named those two. I explained the tuition and fees as being returned to divisions. And then we've talked a little bit about, I've mentioned a little bit about self-generated revenue and given you some examples. The carry forward is a third category, the prior year funds. The budget does show the budgets in the divisions for carry forward. But the actual distribution of carry forward will not be made until we determine, based on the new carry forward policy, how much will be needed centrally, and then we'll go back and prorate back to the divisions an amount that is available after we determine if there's deficits or other items that we need to cover centrally. Central sources. The other aspect about the budget that you're aware of, we focus on increases and decreases, not the total base. So we're about a little bit of base plus or base minus. So the state appropriation is going up $2,613,600. That's one of our good news aspects of this budget. Congratulations to us for earning more performance money than we put into the performance pool, $265,700. The total earned was $3.8 million. We were successful. We're doing quite well, especially in that student success component, degrees conferred, STEM disciplines. So that's good news. The other good news that should be noted is $2,347,900 equity adjustment. And I've got a slide on that one, so I'll hold off on that one. The tuition and fees reflects the fact that we had a 4% decline in enrollment this year, and we anticipate a slight decline next year. That dismal investment income is going down $25,000, so actually it was at $125,000. So the projected decrease that we handle on the central side is $4.1 million. Equity adjustment. The General Assembly, the 2016 General Assembly, approved a recommendation that came through the CPE to say that WKU and Northern Kentucky University, there was a disparity in funding among comprehensive universities, and they gave us half of the amount recommended by the CPE. And as I'll probably repeat myself, those funds made it possible for the increase in salaries that I'll address. Performance funding, courtesy of the, I normally don't give the Lexington Herald credit, but I like this presentation of performance funding. This will certainly be on your radar, our radar moving forward. It's a key component for how we will earn state appropriation moving forward. So the amount that we earned represents 5.5% of our operating state appropriation. And as I indicated, the 35% in student success and 35% in course completions are where we have shown our strength and believe that we're some of the budget allocations that you'll see are designed to continue moving us forward successfully in both of those categories.
And could you go back? Of the five items up there, the top left one is actually based on gains in those categories. Am I reading it right that the M&O, the institutional support, and the academic support, the bottom three are fixed just based on your share compared to everybody else in the state? So there's nothing you can do about that.
No. Well, the M&O, if there was a state-built building, if we got the Gordon Ford College of Business building in the next General Assembly, the square footage would go into the model and would generate support.
But other than getting new money for
right.
new buildings
right.
and facilities, those are fixed.
Those are
70%.
Right. That's what we earn. And in some regard, the bottom three are keep the doors open, okay. understanding that there is a basic fixed cost to every institution. That was central sources that returned to divisions, again, $3.2 million, including doctoral programs and DLO, self-generated all across the enterprise, for a total of $4.1 million built into the budget and returned to the divisions. Projected carry-forward increases by division. Obviously, academic affairs has a majority of the budget and a majority of the projected carry-forward. We're projecting an increase of $11.3 million for a total budget of $29.8 million. And that is our safety net, based on the new carry-forward policy, to help us address any anticipated enrollment shortfall in fiscal year 18. Getting into the costs that we needed to fund by source and use, state appropriation, the fall and spring tuition rate increase, which I'll point out was 2.9% for resident undergraduate students. Other than the University of Louisville that froze their rate, we are the lowest increase in tuition and fees. Divisional tuition revenue returned for especially the doctoral programs. The use of funds, and I'll break that out in a minute, fixed costs, strategic priorities. That's where I was saying that we needed to make some strategic priorities, investments, in areas that we believe will help us perform better in the performance model, and then the return of the division related to programmatic obligations. When we compiled this, we ended up $1.4 million short. So we have a plan, and the divisions on a prorated basis contributed to the balanced budget by $1.4 million. These are the typical fixed costs that you expect to see. I have amounts for them if you would like. But again, faculty, promotions, retirement wasn't a significant number. Health insurance was approximately $700,000 related to last January's increase in the employer contribution. So we always use one-time money, and then we fully fund it in the next budget. Student accessibility, I'll point that one out, $175,000. That happened because we lost a state grant. All the universities lost funding for an important program necessary for deaf and hard of hearing. So we did not put enough money to fully fund it. I believe Student Affairs has reallocated to ensure that these services will not be diminished for this distinct necessary responsibility. Contractual obligations usually means everything from maintenance agreements to elevators, but it's not a lot of money this time, actually only $210,000. Utilities is only $40,000, which is good news, but that's related to additional space in the new science complex. Scholarships, our biggest component, an increase of $2.6 million. Other operating includes insurance, legal, and we do have small salary adjustments for degree completions. I'll stop there and see if anyone has any questions about the fixed costs. Next, strategic priorities. That's a 2% salary increase fully funded for January and July. And again, that's made possible by the state funding, the equity adjustment that the General Assembly approved. The second item, growing private giving support, a necessary investment to keep us competitive and reaching out to especially a lot more potential donors as our alumni base has grown. Student retention and professional advisors project, a very important initiative that this campus has been working on for months and has culminated into a budget recommendation of $320,000 in order to enhance our student graduation, our student retention, bring our advising to a new level, help address items such as changing majors, looking for those students that potentially could fall through the crack, and doing a better job serving the needs of students, starting with orientation, participating in orientation, and getting them to the finish line. Admission, student recruiting, and retention initiatives. In this day and age, technology is huge for being able to identify students and reaching out to them and bringing them to the campus. So much of the initiatives that you would see in this area have to do with technology and databases and identifying and keeping track and communicating with students and families. Campus state police events. This funds one item of which funds were not available within the police department's budget. And the last item, central contingency, was a small amount of money, and I'm trying to remember why we did that.
142, so it could be easily identifiable.
So it was 142,000 associated
with the performance funding.
The performance funding, okay.
The additional
performance funding. The next group, programmatic return to the divisions. Some of these are increases and decreases, but essentially gives you an idea of what happens in this category. Summer school is part of the academic affairs enterprise, doctoral programs, DLO. You may not be familiar with the phrase cohort programs transition, just to give you a little background on that. We have a program for academic programs. I kind of call it an incubator within DLO. We try it. We reach out to the market. DLO charges the fees, pays the faculty. When the program is successful, it transitions to the base budget, and we return funds equivalent for the instructional costs back to academic affairs, while previously it was in the Division for Extended Learning.
Are all of these increases?
No. The decreases did occur in pathway programs and in the international student surcharge, consistent with the decline in international enrollment. Both of those, these are increases and decreases to the base budget. Both of these were relatively new, the pathway program especially, and there's a better refinement of knowing how many students are likely to come in and how much revenue we'll get for those purposes. When these two, when we talk about return to divisions, increases, decreases, if they don't make their revenue estimate, they're responsible for covering their shortfall.
On page 5
of your executive summary, it identifies the increases and decreases for these items. Any questions? I'll move into the capital budget. All right? Capital budget. Yes, sir.
Before we get away from the strategic priorities
yes.
of the package, I think it's very important for us all to realize that 70% of the funds came from student success. Is that the way I understood your presentation? Well, the comment I'd like to make is, through the leadership of our chair and the commitment of this board some time ago, if that was to happen, that money was to go straight to salary increases. Mr. Chair, wasn't that the commitment we made, this board? And the result has been the faculty, the staff, the support to make the students success, to succeed, is allowed us to get these funds. So we shouldn't forget that it was the group that we committed to that has assisted us making this achievement possible. And so the commitment of the board to try to work on salary increases has happened, but it was due to the success of our students, and that's what our mission is. So I want to thank the chair for leading us in that area and comment all the board for being very positive and placing those funds, as meager as they might have been, they should have been more. But I do think that was a great thing for us to make that commitment.
Thank you.
The capital budget. General Assembly approves a biannual budget, and so therefore we're in the second year of that, of the biannual budget. The capital budget reflects authorization, not necessarily expenditures planned. The science complex is moving right along, and I think Mr. Russell said, December? Okay, December. And the other project, the freestanding garage will be mid to late fall?
Yes.
Those are two large projects in the capital budget that will be completed in FY18. When you look at restricted funds, private funds, federal funds, those are the ones where the General Assembly gives us legislative authorization should we have the funds to proceed with the projects. All projects are listed in the capital budget in the back of the bound book. 20 years, Mr. President. Some of us can get away with this. I think 21 budgets might have aged you a bit.
However, I'm going to go back to a comment you made when you began your presentation and remind you that that cup is half full.
And I've been through 21 budgets with you. These are all under my watch. Dr. Ransdell navigated 11 state funding reductions in 21 budgets. Thought I'd written down the number. I think my memory tells me it could have been somewhere in the $28 million range. 11 budget cuts in 21 years. I did this morning a back-of-the-envelope calculation. Those are always scary, aren't they? Especially when you're supposed to have a balanced budget. But I think that the state support for FTE student next year will be 2% higher than when he came in as president. So that one's a tough environment to do what we have done.
Put that in context, my first budget was $130 million, and we're just about to approve a $413 million budget with only a 2% increase in state funding over that period of time. So
that's 2% increase in state funding per FTE student is what I'm estimating. So, yes, as your memory serves you well, you came in at $130 million, and I'll tell you, one of the things that we improved on was budget covers. we're proud that with 11 budget reductions, at least 11 times, we'd at least give you a pretty picture to start with, along with the president with unending optimism. So you navigated us through budget cuts, new programs, doctoral programs, and I won't go in, as I know everyone knows that you're transformation and how it occurred, but we went from $130 million to $413 million, which is quite an enterprise, and you leave us a significantly different university, and as we have a tagline, a leading American university with international reach. Thank you.
I would point out that on that cover, cool story, the photo in the upper right corner is the WKU Symphony Orchestra on the Great Wall of China. The young man on the extreme right of that photo, in front of him sits his tuba. And he was part of the brass quintet that did a concert on the Great Wall for all passers-by for about an hour that day. members of our orchestra when they did a four-concert tour of China. David, that would have been 2012. So that was quite an experience for the students. Most of that funded, some university funds, but most of that funded through our Confucius Institute. But incredible experience for our orchestra at that point in time.
That concludes my presentation. Are there any additional questions?
Wow, that's pretty good.
Or I wore you out, I don't know.
No, you go. Other comments or questions? Then motion on the floor has been seconded, so I'll call for all in favor of the motion. Say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, like sign. The operating budget passes unanimously. That concludes. I'll look at my agenda and make sure it didn't change, but I think that concludes that, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thanks to Chair Johnson and Ann Mead and her staff for a wonderful presentation and the drama of this year with our glass half full. Thank you all. The next item on our special called agenda is a report from the nomination committee chaired by Regent Ridley. I call upon Regent Ridley for that report.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. My report following, and I'll pass the memorandum page back to the side, please. Mr. Chairman, the following regents served on the nominating committee for 2017 and 18 for the board slate of officers. Myself as chair, Dr. Barbara Birch, Ms. Cynthia Harris, Mr. David Porter, and Dr. Tamala Smith. The recommendations from the nominating committee, unanimously, I would also point out, the following regents to be elected to serve as officers of the board for 2017 and 18. Dr. Philip W. Bale as chair, Dr. Gillard B. Johnson III, vice chair, and Mr. Frederick Higdon, secretary. Also, for the purpose of fulfilling the requirements of KRS 164.33 and the board bylaws, the nominating committee recommends Ms. Ann Mead to be appointed as treasurer for 2017 and 18. And in your memo, you can see the balance of that description. In addition, pursuant to the board bylaws, the members of the chairpersons of the standing committees of the board shall be selected by the chair of the Board of Regents, but the nominating committee respectfully submits the following names for consideration to serve as those chairs. Academic Affairs Committee, John Ridley. Finance and Budget Committee, Mr. Gillard Johnson III. And Student Affairs Committee, Ms. Julie Harris Henson. Mr. Chair, that is our report. We thank you for the opportunity to serve this board, and that is our unanimous recommendation.
Thank you, Richard Ridley, and thank you for...
And we pardon me, and I
move to be approved by the board. Thank you. The magic is this.
We have a motion by nominating committee chair Ridley for approval of the slate of officers, and I have a second from David Porter. Any other discussions or questions? Call the vote. All in approval, aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Passes unanimously. Thanks to the nominating committee. Congratulations to Dr. Bell, Neil Johnson, for accepting the officer positions.
Make a comment on that, the weight on my shoulders just feels heavier at this point. But I do find the confidence that the board is placing me to be very humbling. And I want to be on record as saying that there is no one of us that is more important than any other one of us. Going forward and meeting the challenges and finding the opportunities that will exist for us will certainly require the collective experience, energies, and wisdom of everyone on this board. And I heard the comment with our new student reason, I think our GPA went up. And maybe not our experience, but we're certainly. So, anyway, I do thank you, and I will do my best to fulfill the duties of that role.
Thank you. Before we move into the other business area, I can draw your attention to our upcoming meetings and retreats and whatnot. We do have one more item of recognition, and Professor Ransdale, if you will accompany me to the front of the room on behalf of your setting Board of Regents, we would like to give you a token of our appreciation in recognition of your 20 years of exemplary service to our university. Go around the country. Of course, our last official board meeting, President Ransdale, will be with us, and so we thought it appropriate to pay back. Thank you very much. You have endeared all of us to service. This is your first meeting. Thank you, Dr. Bartlett. Would you care to sit down and do this? Most of us never dreamed in our wildest imagination that we left this campus some years ago. A few years ago, that we had the opportunity to come back and serve. And especially so because of the UNJ's inclusion of all of us.
Thank you very much. This is my last board meeting, and I won't belabor the point, but what an experience to have the opportunity to serve with 8 board chairs over the last 20 years. Every one of them absolutely dedicated to leading this board and complete collaboration with the faculty, staff, students, and administration of this university. And I've been most fortunate to have the opportunity to serve my alma mater in this capacity, as has Julie. And the last few months have been incredible. There are a lot of ways a transition in leadership can go, and this one's been positive and celebratory and fun, and a bit overwhelming for both Julie and me in all the right ways, and for that we will be eternally grateful. I want to end my comments at this last board meeting in tribute to the man for whom this building is. This room is named Cornelius Martin. His photograph is right over here. There have been a lot of emotions over the course of these 20 years, but I would dare say the loss of a sitting board chair tragedy, and maybe was the most emotional of my service for this university. Cornelius made the gift that made this room possible when this building was being built. And served this university in amazing ways, and is one of a handful, including Chairman Higdon, Lois Gray, Earl Fisher, the others that have had the opportunity to serve as chair twice. Of course, their service works with our bios. So I would end my thoughts with a tribute to Cornelius Martin, whose service represents what all of you and all of the colleagues that have served on this board have, with which you've served this university. So, thank you, Cornelius. Thanks to each and every one of you.
That wraps up our agenda items for our special called board meeting. I will remind that we'll take a break after this and then return for committee meetings. But with that being said, our retreat is July 27th. Next quarterly board meeting will be July 28th. And I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Regent Johnson, seconded by Regent Harris. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Thanks again.